My dating profile. Well, I like long walks on the beach. And,
oh, yeah.
Well, who doesn't?
20-somethings with daddy issues. Hey,
oh. That's staying in.
You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Miniverse.
Oh, she's the cat's meow.
What if she stole my pants?
Hello and welcome to episode number 72 of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is an episode filled with all new things. Episode 72 marks the first episode of our, I'm going to say, sixth season? How am I doing the math here? That would be sixth season. We're going to be talking about a brand new film. 12 episodes in a year, buddy.
Yeah, I'm still trying to do the math.
So that's 60. 6 times 12 is 72. So we're in our start of our seventh season.
You said sixth.
I know,
I
did.
I was like, but you got to count the first 12 as season one, not season zero.
That's right.
And it's September 15th, 2017. We're going to be a little late.
Dude, what in hell did happen to you?
I just got it out of the way. Just move on.
You drove it into her.
Moving on.
I know, right?
Moving on.
It's like you beat her down
kept doing it over and over again.
You guys may not be aware, but she used to hate. Mark would always mention the date we would record stuff, and she's like, you don't have to tell anybody. Now she just does it.
Because it doesn't matter.
I think it does. But
she does it. It's a thing.
My name is Mark Hader, otherwise known as Hader. My lovely co-host, my lovely every episode co-host, except for four, three, whatever, it doesn't matter. She has been here almost all the episodes.
So is Mark the only constant in the whole thing?
Correct.
I thought there was one you weren't on, were you just joking about that?
Nope. I was on every single one.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, her name is Ruby.
So really, this is Mark's show.
Everybody knows her as Sheree Gallinati, but that's actually not true at all. Her name is Ruby. Most people get confused when they learn her real name.
Or go to Facebook.
I have a nickname because people don't.
I weirdly refuse to call you by your real name. It just sounds wrong.
I love it when you have to introduce her and you like stumble on her name.
Yeah, it's like
Ruby.
Ruby.
It's Ruby. It's fine.
So
I'm not. You know, it's the pronunciation. I never get it right. What is it?
Sheree. I'm gonna kill you. That's Chris Mim. He's our perma guest. He knows how to say my name.
He even
knows my middle name.
We'll get to his title when we introduce. We're gonna. There you go.
Keep going.
Brandon.
No. Pretentious R.
Rochelle.
No.
That's
at least
right.
You know it's
There's
an R.
Rhiannon.
Yes. No. Close enough.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
Introducing. I had led off in the beginning that this is an episode full of new things. Start of our new season. And we've also are proud to welcome to the show two new guests.
Yay.
That have never been on the show before. I'd like to introduce first our fire tender for the evening. He's been around the verse, the Mimiverse, for a very long time.
So is he kind of like the opener?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's you know, like you see a band and they, he's like the opener.
He's like the opening act.
Yeah, he's the opening act and then the, yeah.
I like that.
Headliner.
I don't even know what that means.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to introduce to you Mr. Tim Meinke.
Hello there.
I thought it was Meinke. No, I'm just kidding.
No. If you're,
I'll take it either way. It's supposed to be two syllables.
So there you go. If you live in the state of Minnesota, you've undoubtedly heard of a muffler shop called Meinke. His name is spelt exactly the same way, but it's pronounced Meinke. Two syllables, like the man said. Also,
that's all right, Mark Heider.
Hey, you hush up, woman. I'm kidding. I got nothing.
Actually, isn't there an extra?
I think there is another E.
Extra E in the muffler.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I bet you, I'm sorry.
An E in the middle of Tim's last name.
You are right. And then our headlining key. Our headlining guest for the evening, our headlining act, ladies and gentlemen.
Prepare to perform.
Pressure is on.
Yes, exactly. We are extremely
excited. My kind of girl.
We are extremely excited to introduce to the podcast audience one Miss Amanda R. Teets, otherwise known as Mandy.
Yay.
AKA.
Also known as.
That's her X-Men name.
Nice.
There you go. So,
Wait a minute. Tim, what's your middle name start with? Is it R?
It's Frederick.
Huh?
It's Frederick.
Frederick. Mm-hmm. You are not a pretentious R. All right.
But you could go by Rick.
He could.
So, going by Rick.
Everybody on this podcast has a pretentious R. Because mine is Richard, hers is Rhubarb.
You're so full of poop.
Chris's is Rodrigo.
Yeah.
It's very fitting.
Him and Mitch are really close. Uh-huh. Except when we travel, then it's Mitch and I are close. But
yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, it's.
I woke up. I was aware. I just left you alone.
Too far.
We're on the road. The road gets lonely.
It's hard to deny his Latin heat, ladies and gentlemen.
FarmersOnly.com. No, yeah, it's. I mean, you know, they were that bed was small. I'm sure, maybe,
and it was cold. No, it wasn't really at all.
I mean, I don't know.
We just kept telling people that.
Did he have his hand between two pillows?
Yes,
the nice. Whole
it wasn't his hand.
Yeah, and those weren't pillows.
Anyway,
I listened.
So you will remember.
No.
Oh, you're gonna give him more.
I have one more thing.
God. Wait, and you got the R.
You can make up whatever middle name I have. I
don't Rhiannon.
What?
Rhiannon.
Yeah, we've both got Rhiannon for our middle
Rhiannon.
Name.
Rhiannon. Uh-huh. Okay.
Ron.
Amanda Rhiannon.
Ron. My mom's middle name is Dale. Bless her heart. Well,
I love it.
At least that traditionally was also a woman's name.
Claudia
too.
Dale.
That's very old fashioned. That's kind of cool.
Mom's name. Yeah. She's going to love that I just said that out loud to everyone.
Tell us her last
Flash
name,
Gordon,
too.
Right? Dale Arden.
So that we can break into your.
Yes, what's her maiden
her
name?
Full name? Oh, yeah.
What was your favorite stuffed animal as a child? Where did you go to high school?
Elementary school.
I was on the speaking
These sound like security questions for, like, your bank account.
No, we're all screwed
because of freaking...
Stolen identity podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Experian anyway, so...
So, right off the top here, before we start getting into the meat of this show, we have one note... For one of the guests.
Wait, no, you didn't say what Mandy was in. Why she's important to the Mimiverse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Miss Mandy Teets was, she performed as Stephanie Yates in The Monster of Phantom Lake, the musical, ! And she's also the star, ladies and gentlemen, the star of the new upcoming Mimiverse film.
Really?
Demon with the Atomic Brain, out October 4th. Wednesday, October 4th
Buy
at the Heights
now.
Theater, Columbia Heights, 7 p.m.
Tickets are still available. Get some.
Get your
but
tickets.
But not many.
No.
All right, now that I got interrupted by the wife, here we go.
Ruby's actually, like, participating tonight.
Kiss my lily white hind end. Huh?
The only note that I have...
You know, let's travel together.
...was
that happened.
From the last episode. There you go.
I mean, you know...
Things might happen.
You know, Mark and I went to Colorado together.
Shared a room.
You're like my brother. By things, you mean me beating you down?
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's what happens with my brother.
Leg wrestling or whatever?
Everything.
Is there Jello involved?
No.
Ruby, we can travel.
Yes, we can.
There
we'd
you go.
Awesome.
Let's go together.
Okay, let's go.
The only note that we got from the last episode from our listeners was actually in regards to my lovely someday future wife, Ruby.
Not true. We got a couple things.
No.
The one that you didn't know, engaged 10 years now plus.
It's okay. Something like that.
They've been engaged longer than the Mimiverse has existed.
That is correct.
Mark, when did you lose control of the show?
I never really have it.
There is no control.
It's all an illusion, Tim. It's all an illusion. The only note that we got from a listener that I received was in regards to Ruby's seemingly disinterested state in the last episode.
What?
Yep.
Somebody had said that you did not talk at all, and it seemed like you were completely not there.
I was fire tending. I'm sorry, y'all. I was trying to participate, but I was too lazy to get a fire tender.
And my only note for that is,
sorry.
If you really miss Rhubarb, trust me, this episode, she's going to be on fire. In fact, right away here in part one, we're going to get her all fired up because we're going to be talking about theater stuff.
Because we're going to be talking about the stupid musical that we did, that dumb musical that's over and gone. We should be talking about other stuff, but we're still talking about the musical.
Good girl.
You are flanked.
I love how Mandy just smacked Chris because that's what Steph
flanked.
Does.
That's a... It's an interesting word.
You're surrounded.
Flanked by the ladies.
You are surrounded by estrogen.
Is that the right word? Did I use it wrong? Sometimes I use it wrong. No, that was totally right.
It's a good word.
There's nothing worse than when you commit to a word and realize you've used it wrong.
I do that all the time. Welcome to my life.
And even worse is you not only like use it wrong, but say it wrong.
Oh, because you only read it?
Yeah.
You thought you'd sound really smart for a second.
Yeah, but you just... And then no one says anything.
And it ends up on the podcast. I'd be a total dick about it. I don't think you know what that means.
I was there for filming. I know. And she was not hesitant to call people out. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Jeremy.
Let's talk to our first, the guy we first introduced, Tim. Let's ask him. How long have you been involved in the Mimiverse? What was the first thing that you saw? Did you meet Chris? Explain why you are here tonight.
Okay.
Justify yourself.
Oh, okay. Golly. Don't be like that.
Well, I missed the premiere of Monster of Phantom Lake, but Justin Overlander posted something on, you know, at the time it might have been MySpace.
Probably.
Has it been that long ago?
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah, I think he posted something on MySpace about this movie that he was in, and how great and how wonderful it was and everything. And I don't remember if I saw it first at the Woodbury 10 or if I rented it at the Village video store where Rachel worked.
Nice.
I know. I actually have
way back.
Yeah. I actually have a story about Tim that I want to tell quick about the first time we met, actually.
Okay.
It's a good one, and I do tell it all the time. It may seem like, I don't know, you'll see. I'm trying to like set it up, and I'm like, So Tim had come to, I think you rented it first.
I did rent
because
it first.
I remember you coming to the Woodbury, because afterwards you came up to me and said specifically to me, thank you so much for putting subtitles on your DVDs.
Yes, closed captioning, yeah.
Yeah, because very few indie filmmakers do that and have done that. And I always made a point to do it, and I, you know, and you said that, and you saying that made me from that point forward always make sure to do it.
Oh.
Because it was like, yeah, it adds value for someone like yourself who it helps.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are somewhat hard of hearing,
right?
And you don't hide that fact. Mm-hmm. And so that was cool that you came up, and I remembered that specifically. I was like, yeah, you were the first person ever. Is like, thank you for doing that. Okay. No one does it. It's great to see that.
Well, not only that, but your subtitles, they're clever. They're funny.
Yeah, there's jokes.
Hidden jokes. You have to watch for the subtitles in order to get some of these jokes.
Yeah. And there's added stuff, and I try to do all the sound effects, and I try to come up with how they would sound if you wrote them out, and I have fun with that sometimes.
Well, there is a scene from, it came from another world, Julianne and the professor were talking to each other, and then Julianne turns to walk away, and the professor just very briefly looks at her rear end.
Yes.
And you pointed that out in the subtitles.
Yes.
You know, what are you looking at, Professor?
Exactly. Little stuff like that.
Yeah.
I threw some even in Demon with the Atomic Brain, where it's like, Well, you'll have to see it, but there's definitely stuff in there where I'm sort of making jokes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys have seen that meme where they have a subtitle that said screaming internally because the actor wasn't screaming, but that was the subtitle. And someone screen captured that, and I've seen it several times on different boards. So it's stuff like that where mm-hmm. it's like little snarky comments or, you know, just I threw in a Ramones reference.
Nice.
In this new one. I mean,
I haven't seen the DVD yet.
It's at the manufacturer now. So.
Well, there you go.
But yeah. Continue. Sorry, I want to throw it out there because of that.
Awesome. Even if you don't need subtitles, do yourself a favor and watch them once in a while, just for something fun to do.
Yeah.
So, Ryan does that when the kids are too loud or I'm talking too much.
Just to ignore you better.
Put the subtitles on so he can understand what's happening in the movie.
Just so that it's all understood as to why Tim is here, he's also been a very big supporter of the Mimiverse, and he's also been in two films.
Yes.
He showed up in The Giant Spider, and
he was in the barn.
He is the first person that we saw in Demon with the Atomic
Brain.
That's
right.
Yep.
So he is in the trailer.
Yeah, so, the little contributor thing we did on Halloween to announce the movie was with Tim, because we put that together really, really fast.
Yes.
And that ended up actually just being the first scene in the movie. So...
Well, there's a story behind that. Did you want to tell it?
Go ahead.
Well, what happened was after the premiere of Where's Skeeto, you know how in every movie he has the flashlight?
The flashlight thing.
Oh, yeah.
The flashlight stick. So after the premiere of Where's Skeeto, I went up to him and I said, Chris, I'll give you $1,000 if I can be the next person to do the
well
flashlight bit.
Well done, sir.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. So you true story, I gave him $1,000. We shot
Hence
that thing.
Executive producer Tim Mikey.
Yeah.
Well, that's what executive producers all they are. They're the guys with the money.
That's true.
Hey, if you've got it and share it,
it helps
bless
us.
You.
It helps us keep making these films, man. Uh-huh. So well, it helps.
You're
20 worked
something
out.
With daddy issues.
You're 20 something with daddy issues.
Yeah, that's my dating profile.
I have money. If you're a 20 something with daddy issues, let me help you through college.
Well, Mandy, I had my eye on you for a while, but then I found out you were married. So.
I don't know the last time Ryan had $1,000. So Tim, after this.
So Tim, what you doing after this?
Whoa. Yes, that just goes to show that we are recording this episode outside, ladies and gentlemen.
They're flying really low.
They're flying really
low. They're really loud. Well, I suppose because they're so low, they sound louder.
They got to yell. Come on, let's go.
So, yeah, when we were putting together the teaser, I went right to Tim. I was like, hey, man, now's your chance. You want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I do. I was like, okay, well, I need you, like, on Thursday. Are you free on Thursday? Yeah. Sure. Here's the script. Let's do it. And we put it together within, like, 5 days.
Oh, yep.
Nice.
I wrote it one night. We were filming it by that weekend. I had it ready in about 24 hours of editing it. And then Mitch had to create a monster.
Yep.
Which we didn't use in the final film, but we just had him throw something together that was in that. And I did put the announcement video on the DVD so you can see the difference between the two.
Nice.
The edit is the same, cool. But the monster is different, and there's some other things that I just moved around and changed. But I thought for comparison's sake, it's kind of interesting.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you about that later, so I was you beat me to the punch.
But we got together, and of course Tim is the world-renowned Radar O'Reilly cosplayer.
Yes. Well, and occasionally I do Gaydar O'Reilly.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I put on a pink shirt and rainbow-colored socks. And
so you look like Klinger, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
He's the love child.
I cosplay Radar because I look like Klinger. but no, you heard the expression Gaydar, so I just put a little, you know, hi, I can tell you're gay, you're not. Oh, yes, you are. And you don't even get me started.
Nice.
Snapping my fingers here.
I love it.
He is committed to this, and it's a shame that this is an audio medium, but do check the Facebook page for the pictures. Rue has taken some pictures. So
according to that, apparently Mandy has some things to tell her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
So. True. Well.
Well,
that's kind of why you cast me, because of my resemblance to Radar.
Well, I mean, honestly, I needed a soldier, and I knew you had the costume.
Okay.
And I thought it all just kind of worked out perfectly. It was like, no, this is exactly what I need. Let's do it.
Okay.
And funny story about that, though, is that day we had a helmet for you that we bought. It was a cheap, like, dollar, not a dollar store, but like a Party City.
It was a Party,
Army helmet. right before you got there, it fell on the ground and cracked.
Oh, I remember that now. Yes.
So it was like, if you look carefully, there's a big old crack in it. But I thought it was kind of cool because it was like maybe, obviously something bad has happened. Anyway,
maybe he got shot at.
Yeah, something bad's happened and all these people are disappearing.
And he just wears it now to remind himself that life is fragile.
That's right.
Or something. Well,
clearly
it's
my character
even more
stressed.
Fragile, yes. Because he's got a cracked helmet that'll do no good.
Yeah. Exactly. Something like that. So yeah, that was Chris talking about Tim's first appearance in the Mimiverse in The Giant Spider, in case people didn't know. So.
Well, in The Giant Spider, he got to be part of the dumb running gag about everyone thinking instead they wouldn't believe it was a spider, but they're all like, it's aliens.
Yeah, aliens we believe.
Like, no, there's no aliens. I think it's funny. I don't know anyone else who thinks it's funny, but I think it's funny.
It's still funny.
It worked. I like it.
Still my favorite exchange in that movie is the whole thing between Howard and Zeta where she's like, but the aliens, is like, there are no aliens. She's like, she's like, Howard, he's like, but a giant spider, that you believe? And she's like, focus! This is just this back and forth that they did really perfectly.
That was a fun shoot in the barn there. That was an amazing day.
It's a good day.
But so that's Tim's introduction. Now you have been to a lot of premieres, right?
I've been to a lot of them. There were a few that I missed.
Interesting. Which ones did you miss?
Oh, which ones?
Well, obviously Monster, but
yeah, I don't think I was there for Danny Johnson. I don't think I was there for Wall People.
So you missed a couple.
Just put him right on the spot there, didn't you?
Right.
Oh yeah. He's cool. He could take it.
Mandy's missed them all, so it's okay.
How many has Mandy missed?
All of them.
All of them.
She's a premier virgin on this one.
Dum dum dum.
So now we have you come up to the front and dance and stuff, right?
Yeah. There's a ritual you have to go through. Yep.
You got to stand on top of the seats and sing the songs. Good thing you know the songs.
Yeah.
The songs.
Yeah. From the Mimiverse.
All
paddle,
of them.
Paddle.
Oh, I mean, I know
that. The songs from the Mimiverse were all in the musical, so you actually know them all.
Then I can sing along.
Awesome. There good. You go. All right.
Now that we're actually on Mandy here, let's.
We're not to speak.
We're all after dark.
For
those who can't see, nobody's actually on me yet.
That's
kidding. Now, we have alluded to Mandy's arrival in the Mimiverse in previous episodes, especially the last one.
Arrival in the Mimiverse sounds almost
I don't know how else to say it.
Yes, but it sounds weirdly like, I don't know, like
she just landed on
arrival to Earth.
Omen or something. Yes. Her arrival in the Mimiverse.
She just landed in a big egg right in the middle. No, I'm just kidding.
Stephanie at the preview of the musical.
Was it the thing before the thing?
The thing before the thing. That's what I thought.
On my birthday.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That was my birthday.
And
that there was cake.
That is the first time any of us had ever met Mandy was at the thing before the thing, which was for which movie? It was not Where Skeeto. It was the late night double feature.
I think it was a late night double feature.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay,
wait, we only did the full on night before the thing was the
we did it for Giant Spider. And we did it for late night double feature.
I'm looking at the word.
No, actually, I think we did it for late night double feature and Danny Johnson. Because we had kids, and we did like a kids pizza party.
That's right. Yeah. You're right. My apologies.
So it was late night double feature. And we did that because we did it on a Friday night because we did late night double feature on a Saturday.
Yes.
So we had extra value for the out-of-towners.
But it was also...
And Mandy was our entertainment.
She was. Dance, monkey, dance. I'm kidding. So her introduction to the Mimiverse was almost... we were all... like
trial by fire, really.
It basically was, because she had to get up and perform in front of a room full of strangers.
A work that had never, ever been performed in public.
So...
And was there to garner, interest.
Yes.
So no pressure.
You pulled it off.
Well, it worked out for you because you ended up playing Miss Stephanie Yates Monster Phantom Lake the Musical.
Yes.
And the guy who did it at the Thing for a Thing did not end up playing Professor Jackson in the final thing.
Yes, no. He joined a band.
He has his band and they were off doing...
They were touring or something, weren't they?
Band stuff. Yeah, I believe they were touring and he just seemed to kind of disappear. Like, he just kind of got really involved in all that and... He's around every once in a while. He'll show up on Facebook every so often, but he just kind of...
That's all right. We got Joel.
So we got Joel, who I had known longer anyway.
Well, there you go. So, Mandy, when you first were performing the little excerpt, as it were, from the Monster of Phantom Lake, what ended up
Phantom
be calling...
Lake? What was that?
I heard
Monster
that
of Phantom Lake, the musical exclamation point. But it wasn't called that at that point. It was just called the Monster of Phantom Lake.
I have a question real quick.
Go ahead.
On a side note. Because I was not involved with the actual production of the musical.
Yes, sir.
Who started the damn, I have to point out the exclamation point, that it became a like a thing that all the actors and crew people
That was Rue.
It was probably me.
It was Rue.
I figured as much. Because it's like everyone has to do it, and it's like, yeah, I get it.
But the thing is, I don't ever do it. Like, I missed the memo, so...
that's fine.
And all the things that I talked about it, I always say the musical to make sure they know, but I never think to say it.
And it's just like, I'm like, okay, someone started that.
It was probably Rue.
You know what? I don't think... admittedly, I don't think Adam ever liked that it was called the Monster Phantom Lake, the musical, at all. Because early on, he tried to talk me out of it.
What was his... Did he have another
suggestion?
He just
wanted it to be the Monster Phantom Lake, and then he put a little subtitle, a new musical. And I was like, I don't like that. And I'm going to put my foot down as the guy who wrote it. It's the musical, exclamation point. Partially because...
So maybe you started it.
Well, I started it, but it's like pointing it out.
Oh.
You know, where it's like, every time he always... It's like someone has to say... exclamation point, right? He didn't like it. And I think he thought it made it too cheesy or something, but it's like, dude, that's the point.
It's so perfect.
It's supposed to be like an old movie, like, them! Exclamation point. I mean, that's the name of them. It's not just them, it's them. Exclamation point.
Exactly.
It's to set that 50s tone, right? Also, I told him, I was like, dude, I want to keep it because I don't want there to be confusion between the movie and the musical.
Right, which one people are buying.
Right. And so it's like, I said, if we're going to be trying selling this, I don't want people to like buy one thinking they're get the other. They're getting the other or vice versa. I want to separate them out a little bit.
Ooh, nice wood.
So that was...
Good job, Ken.
good one.
That was the thing is early on, Adam was like, he tried to change it without asking.
Really?
He just changed it.
Okay.
And then he sent it to me, because I was doing the art, and I was like...
Ding, hold on.
I was like, hey, what's going on there? What's going on there, buddy?
He tried to slide one past you.
Yeah, and I was like, there was a reason I did this. I wasn't just trying to... It's like, no, I wanted to get the... I figure by adding that exclamation point, it makes it...
It's its own thing.
It makes it a joke.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's supposed to be fun and stupid, but it's also period of that sort of like over-the-top monster movie thing. I think Adam maybe wanted to be a little more serious, but I'm like, there's nothing serious about this. It doesn't need to be. It's supposed to be the jokey version of a movie that's already plays itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
So that was I overruled him on that one thing. Everything else, I was like,
whatever. Exactly.
That in one line.
Yeah.
That was it.
Which you talked about.
Right.
So, Mandy, when you were at the night before the thing.
Yes.
And you were performing in front of an audience. Now that you, I'm not going to ask if you were nervous because you're used to that. You are a stage actor. You have been doing it for a long time, but you're only 25 or something. So,
right.
You know, you're not new to acting.
Yeah, pregnant really young.
Really young.
So when you're at the premiere and you meet my 13-year-old, yeah, I was that teenager.
Don't ask. She was 12 years old when she had her kid.
13 and pregnant.
Did you think at that point when you were at the night before the thing that a year and a half later you were actually going to be at the Mabel Tainter Theater, performing in front of four
pretty
almost
damn good crowds.
I mean, yes. I hoped so. Adam reached out to me. I had worked with Adam, you know, in other musicals, but I didn't know Adam very well, other than he worked with the orchestra. So when he reached out to me about this project, I didn't know what to expect. But I made sure I kind of kept track of where it was at. And when I'd see him, I'd ask, you know, is that still happening or what's going on? So, I mean, I hoped so. So I was really excited when it got traction and actually came to fruition. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yep.
And
say one thing?
One more thing?
You were bugging Adam about it, right? You're sorry, not bugging, but you were just like keeping
when
it
I saw
mind,
him,
right?
I didn't go, I wasn't like.
No, I mean, you were like every day, like, when are we doing that?
You're not like Facebook, you're not Facebook stalking
knock,
him.
Knock, knock, knock. Hey, buddy. Yeah. This is the truth. All of this would never have happened without Ruby.
What?
That's true.
It all comes down to this. The reason why...
No, what?
I finally got off my ass and wrote the script Because Adam had been bugging me for years. And I don't mean bugging, but, you know, just...
You know,
keeping friendly
reminding you.
Right. When I was going to take a break after Danny Johnson...
Yeah.
The person pushing most for it was Ruby.
Are you joking?
No, you were like, you need a break. Take a break. And almost there was a part of me that was like, well, Ruby says so, so I guess I got to take a break.
You actually did need to take
a break. And there was a bit of a fight internally.
Of course.
Screaming internally. Like, I don't want to take a break, but maybe Ruby's right. You were the one who was like the driving force behind, take a break.
Maybe Ruby's right.
Honestly.
You did need a break.
And because of that, taking that break, that's when I'm like, well, I want to do something. I don't want to just like turn it off.
And then you wrote more songs because Ruby was pestering you for more songs.
Right. Yes. So I guess they're just saying, annoy me long enough and I'll do what you want.
Does that work for Steph too?
But she's, I was
yeah,
going to say,
it kind of works for everybody.
Rue and Steph are the only two people that works for. Nobody
That's
else.
That's not true. Oh, that's totally not true.
Okay, Mitch, maybe.
I mean, you know, Mitch.
Well, maybe not Mitch. And I'm glad that you all worked on
it. No, but it was funny. It was like you were the one that, not that you were pushing me into it, but it's like, I think maybe you knew that I probably should. And you were really the only person who's like, just do it.
Well,
pussy.
We're friends, you know? And I get to tell you things. So,
and so
like you get
because of that, that was what gave me the time to finally write the script and make it happen.
Yay. And now was the time.
Thank you, Ruby.
Right.
So no, thank
all worked
you.
Out.
Thank you, Chris.
So that's why Ruby funny. Was like, this is like your thing, really.
Well,
you're like the musical.
I needed to light that, and Cookie needed to direct it, and the actors needed to do it, and the orchestra needed to play it, and
before we get back to Mandy, I gotta say
it needed to come to life.
But I gotta say, as the slightly worse half of this couple, speaking of me and Rue,
thought you're talking about you and I, but okay.
No, you're the better half too. But
clearly,
I mean, but I've seen her through good times and bad, and I could tell you that she was on basically one of the biggest highs she's ever been on in our relationship during, actually, tech, which is usually miserable for everybody, but she was having so much fun, and she was so excited, and Chris will even admit this, that she was one of the biggest vocal supporters. She was getting in people's faces.
I don't need to admit nothing. Just go back to the last, like, 3 years of shows.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on. I think what you're saying is she wouldn't shut the fuck up about
pretty
it.
Much, pretty much, yes. It's like, bitch.
Very excited.
Shut your damn mouth, woman.
No, and it was good, though, because it needed someone like that, I think, to push it, honestly. Just because, I don't know. I mean, I get very excited about my movies. The musical was a whole different experience, but it's still not my wheelhouse, you know? So it was cool to do it. It was cool to see it, but I'm glad I was apart from it.
Mm-hmm.
A part of it, but apart from it.
I understand.
Because I wouldn't have known what even to do. So it was nice that there was someone who was sort of in the inner circle, you know, internal to the sort of workings and machinations of the Mimiverse for many years, to be someone who's like kind of... I mean, Mike Cook obviously has been around too, and obviously he was a driving force between keeping it sort of in the...
Oh, yeah.
In the Mimiverse.
Yes,
he did the job.
Wow, that laugh right there. Yes, he was.
No, he made sure we knew it had to stay in the style of the Mimiverse.
Well, and I think it was probably interesting. I don't know. And this is the kind of things we should ask about, depending on how far you guys want
to
go into this.
Not going to
It's just all the different
trouble.
Personalities that are sort of approaching this new work. Because I know Adam, to a certain extent, you know, it's his music, it's his stuff. So there's sort of an equal with a musical like that. There's an equal sort of, and this is why he and I sort of share everything equally with it, is that it's as much his as it is mine, right? As far as like the actual conception. And so in his mind, I think he had ideas. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I want to sort of keep it in line with what I've already done because it's based on the thing. I want to keep it. And then so you had Ruby, who is like, I want to light the fuck out of that.
Yep.
And then you had Mike, who, you know, had his particular vision of,
okay. He wanted to direct the fuck out of that.
He wanted to direct the fuck. But it's like, I know from the impressions I've gotten in the other shows we've done talking to them and stuff, you had him like, okay, having one foot in the movies and one foot in the theater. It was like, he was trying to balance it in a way that was, I don't know. It seemed like there were so many different people with different visions and whatnot trying to bring this to life. Ultimately, though, I think the final product is really freaking great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really...
That's exactly theater, though. I mean, You got
That's why I like movies.
You're in the basement.
That's
no,
right.
No. What you said is exactly true, though. You got the guy who writes the music and the guy who writes the words, and then they have to be happy with it, and then they hand it over to the production team, which I'm certainly not saying nobody else did anything, but primarily, you're right, it was Cook and me.
Everyone knows you did everything, Ruby. Just stop giving Mike.
No, I did too much. But, you know, Cook wrangled all the actors, and the actors do their part. And then Adam played.
Like, yeah, fuck you, ma'am.
Yeah. Adam came in and wrangled everybody in a second role.
What did he do to you?
I said Adam wrangled me in. Adam got me in before Mike was ever involved. I want to give Adam his credit on that.
Oh, I'm not saying anything. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep.
But Adam had the vision for
it's
me.
Definitely it's a collaboration, it and that's theater.
That's why I like movies.
Well, yeah, you don't have one director / like
no
writer producer
yeah
editor.
You don't that's everything. You have a lot of people that need to come together and work collaboratively and get along, or at least
don't forget that you like each other.
The illusion of getting
along.
Yeah.
No, you do have to get along, but you can't forget that you like each other.
So would it make a good like movie to make a movie about the making of the Monster Family, like the musical, but like do it as a dramedy?
Maybe.
Well, it sounds like there was potentially more drama than the actors were.
Oh, that's just Tech Week.
Wow, see? So it would. So you're saying it would.
Tech Week's horrible.
Share your trauma. Share your trauma.
Trauma.
You got, like,
good
trauma.
PTSD. We had the most beautiful show.
This is where we come together.
Star Trek 5, this will take away your pain.
Yes.
It was recorded, which is more than most people get.
Oh, yeah.
And the final product is perfect, and that's what really matters.
There you go.
I'm actually very happy how it turned out. I didn't I didn't know how well it would.
And to Ruby, I can say personally, I didn't know that there was that extra tension or drama going on. And
you
I
didn't
was there,
get anything from Tech Week? Hooray.
I was there the whole time, and I was like, you know, we were doing our thing, and everyone seemed to stay positive and seemed to stay on point. So
that's what matters. You don't affect the actors with any backstage nonsense.
Well, because we are so important, obviously.
It is. You guys are the face of the show.
I thought actors were cattle.
See, but you have to make them feel like they're
that
not.
Way, yes.
You got to make them feel like
actors,
the illusion
we have
of our importance.
You must feed that because the moment you stop feeding an actor's ego, they go crazy.
No, you got to smack them down every now and again too.
Well, that's you do, but see, you got to be careful because the moment you like feed their ego and then take it away, they lose their shit.
But see, that
it's
is
happened.
Cook's job.
Yeah,
that is Cook's job.
Some actors will lose their shit. Other actors don't. Like, I mean, maybe I'm just not taking my acting status seriously enough.
I think
but
it depends on your personality.
Like, yeah.
I agree.
There are
how much you need
different
that ego
levels
boost.
Different levels of diva. Let's put it there. Different levels of diva.
So you're like a level 2 diva?
I like to be low maintenance diva.
It's like D&D.
Like opening night.
Level 2 diva.
Opening night, I want that little bit of extra ego moment. But otherwise, I try to be low maintenance diva.
You gain some performance.
She's the diva, and I'm the poor, pathetic guy who's always getting the secondary roles or the
there
extra roles. And
roll for diva.
I so desperately want to be a star.
Roll for diva save.
Chris, roll I'll give diva. You $1,000 if I can do the flashlight.
Well,
the thing
is
you know?
You didn't have to do that. If you'd literally just would have come up to me, or maybe I shouldn't say that on the podcast.
Now,
it's like if you would have just come and said, "I really, really want to do the flashlight thing in one of your movies,"
yeah,
having worked with you before, I would have been like, "I can make that happen."
And for the record, I've had plenty of non-leading roles and not been cast in things as well.
Not in the Mimiverse movies,
this was
though.
This has been very fun.
This is two movies in a row for you where you're the lead. So careful what you say there.
It should be said.
I just don't want it to. I don't want him to feel like, well, she's got all the.
You know how many women are lined up to do leading roles, and you got two in a row.
Can I say
this is me knocking
with Demon
you down
with
a little
the atomic
bit.
Brain? Mm-hmm. That of all the roles I've ever given to probably anyone, mm-hmm. this is the biggest for one single person
yes.
ever.
Oh. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but you didn't give it to me right away. Did you tell this? Wait,
No.
We'll save this story.
It's a spoiler, but it's a good story.
This pissed off Mike Cook a little bit.
Save it. Save it for part two.
We'll save it for part two.
I have so many questions that I want to ask Mandy. When you first got cast as Stephanie Yates, did you like the character? Could you relate to her? Was there something that you hated about her? Was there something that you liked about her? Go.
Damn.
You're supposed to send me these ahead of time.
Bear in mind, I'm sitting right
here. Who's my high maintenance diva?
Oh, don't bear in mind he's sitting right there.
No, I did like the character.
Well, and you saw the movie in preparation for the night before the thing.
Mike lent me the movie that I've never returned.
Oh, cook.
Did you never return because you forgot, or did you watch it and you're like, this is not good?
It got stored in the DVDs, and it's still there. Oops. I have to give that back.
It's all right. I've actually given him a new one since.
Yours. I did the thing before the thing, and in the process of prep for that, Mike came into the picture, and he brought it with right away and was like, here, you can watch this. But keep in mind, the thing before the thing was just one number, so it wasn't...
What color is the cover?
Ooh, that's a good question. Is it red or is it green?
Is it red, green, or bluish?
You're right, blue.
It's green?
Whoa. Greenish.
Like it looks like a color photo on the front? Green and leaves and stuff?
Don't know. Oh. No, I don't think it's that.
Might have a first one.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more of a... like a muted, maybe it's a bluish.
Is it the monster coming out of a lake or in a forest?
A lake.
Okay, so that's a newer one.
It's a new one.
Okay,
otherwise, you have
ones are the rare ones.
Oh, yep. They're from the very first. I'm going to check now when I get home.
The green ones are like the first
and
run.
And I'll lie. So
those are the most. Those are the
most coveted.
Most coveted. High.
I still have my copy.
Yeah. See there you go.
See now.
Actually, I think that version you have were ones he had asked me to give him to give to actors.
Okay.
I think you just kept it from other actors.
That's okay.
Potentially.
Way to go, Mandy.
Well,
potentially.
So that was how I learned who... Potentially.
Potentially.
That's how I learned who Stephanie Yates was. And I guess I did like the character.
Did you watch it again, though, before...
I did not.
...being in the show?
That's okay.
Because you were a year old.
I wanted to develop the character. I wanted the script. Were there things that I wish I had played a little differently? Maybe, yeah. There was definitely a lot of... focus on, okay, we've got a redhead, we've got a brunette, we got another brunette, we're going to keep you blonde. So then we played up sort of the vampy blonde more than the intellectual student side. And, you know, part of me looking back is like, I would have liked to have played it naive at some points and other places not. You know, I'm hypercritical that way. I look at every line and think, oh, I could have delivered it this way or that way. So I didn't want to watch the movie and have too much of a vision right from that. But I did really like the character. I liked the campiness of the show. I enjoyed, the music is beautifully written musically wise, but the words were hilarious throughout. So that really
lent itself. That is all Adam right there.
And I mean, it was just,
it's true.
It was so fun to be part of something that didn't exist. And I think that's probably the biggest part about not using the movie as my frame of reference, is that this was something that could be created out of nothing, which how many actors get that chance, so.
Totally.
I think your interpretation of it too adds a little more personality than it exists in the movie, because I don't know, and too, for the theater setting of making her a little more over the top,
right,
and more in love with the professor. I mean, the sort of love between the professor and Stephanie in the movie is much more subtle, which I don't think would play well on a stage.
Right, because you have the visual.
Right.
I mean, you have to play everything
right,
bigger.
Right.
You don't have anyone zooming in close to
right. You don't get the little like subtle reaction of her just smiling ever so slightly because he said her name.
Right.
That kind of thing. So I actually think that that's a bit of a better interpretation for the stage.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have people who are going to want... I mean, you're going to always fight with people who want one thing and are unhappy with how it ends up, but ultimately I think it works just fine.
Right. Well, and I mean, I don't know anything about the cast from the film, but I
don't either.
I like to think I brought something different to Stephanie, maybe.
You absolutely did.
More
wait,
layers.
Wait, question.
Blonde hair.
Question.
Blonde hair.
I'm about to do something here that I never do. Do you think you played Stephanie Yates better than Leah Horton?
Oh, fight, 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 fight. Hi, Leah.
Well, I mean, I have watched the DVD of the musical more than I've watched the DVD of the film.
Ooh, kick the mic over, but not into the fire.
I just know.
Mic drop.
She played it differently than I did.
Well, again, like Chris said, it's different, though. You can't...
Right.
It's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
It would have been strange for her to come out singing.
For sure.
Yes.
In the film.
I think if there's any one character of all the characters from the movie compared to the play... I think the only character who I think kind of plays the same is Elizabeth.
Yeah.
All the other ones become much broader, campy characters. Whereas Elizabeth plays not exactly the same, but very similar.
And Greta killed it.
Oh, my God. Oh. I always tell that story the first time I heard, just in the dress performance when she did Afraid of Everything. And I was literally, like, tearing up and feeling goosebumps.
I was like, I want to play that role just to sing that song.
It's like, holy crap.
Well, and I tell people about the day
she hits
they recorded
that big note
vocals.
And holds it. Ugh.
She, like, you guys hadn't had the music very long. You hadn't done any of the shows way in advance. It's not like normally doing a musical recording session is after you already know the character. She got that in one freaking take.
I know, and bless her little 15-year-old heart. She's like, well, there was that one spot where I, like, quiet.
Like, you
enough
just
from shut up.
Shut up.
Well, you did not have a bad
shut your mouth.
I don't think Adam heard that error.
There wasn't an error. This was in her head. This was adorable,
she
crazy Greta.
She made them do it again.
Thinking she did it wrong, and she didn't. It was spot on. That girl and I, we bonded. Tech Week, that might be why I avoided all the drama in Tech Week, because I messed with Greta the whole time.
That's cool.
Have you heard the stories?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, there were a lot of.
I stayed out of actor stuff so I could deal
at
with technician
point,
dramas.
Because my birthday was the week opening week.
Right. And so was hers.
And I was given a little monster doll from Stephanie. And I had been teasing Greta about something. I threatened to cut her. I was like, you do that, I'll cut you. And I don't know why. It was just something goofy. And because she kept treating me like a mom. And so then I'd do these weird things that made her freak out. Like, I'd be like,
nice.
I'll cut you. Then one day I had brought dinner from somewhere in the cutlery that they give you in the plastic silverware. There was a plastic knife, so I took the little monster and set him next to her stuff, and I put the little knife in, like, make it look like his whole knife, and I took a picture of it by her stuff, and and then I put it all away, and I was texting her these, like, little ominous I'm gonna cut you text, and she's like, you seem so nice.
She's actually traumatized and deathly afraid of you.
She's
now
she's terrified. But then I'd bring her candy,
all the niceness. She's like, hi, Mandy. And you run away, and she's like, oh, God. God. She's gonna kill me.
Way to traumatize that poor young girl.
Yeah. I know.
You threaten her, and then you give her candy.
Yeah, I have to make
right
a memory so that when she's famous, she doesn't forget me.
That's
there
right.
You go.
And I'll be the first one on her, like, securities list.
That's right. Do not let
Do
her,
not let her in.
She'll say she's my mom. She's not my mom.
Well, because I'm only 25.
25.
So. Right. Yep.
I'm her theater mom.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was there when she got her start. Or something. I don't know. The Monster of Phantom Lake, the musical. I'm not going to say the exclamation point if Chris doesn't want me to.
No, I was just wondering where that started, because
it
became like a thing.
It,
and I was like
a passive-aggressive exclamation point. You said it without saying it.
When you...
I'm not going to say it.
I'm not going to say
exclamation point. I'm just going to point out that I'm not going to say it.
I'm going to go back in the middle of the night and edit this so that he says the Monster of Phantom Lake, the musical, exclamation point.
There you go.
Because you could just really cut out that whole little I'm not going to say.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm going
to
do.
When you're a theater actor, you never get to see your work.
You don't typically, no.
But when you did this, you knew going into it that there was going to be a DVD recording of it.
I don't know that that really was... made clear exactly what that meant, because I think the only recordings I've ever seen of shows I've been in are that stationary camera that you
like
see
in the back of the,
like, at the high school.
Yeah.
The VHS,
like,
in the back
in my high school, the cafetorium.
Yeah.
You know. I didn't realize, like, exactly what that meant. So we knew but didn't know, if that makes sense.
I understand.
Until we were at the premiere for it.
And what did you think of yourself? Is it now being forced to be sitting in a room watching your performance from a few months earlier?
It's always going to be weird. I don't know if it ever won't be. I mean, maybe if I get to do a whole bunch more stuff. But right now, it's always going to be weird to see myself, because that the nature of theater is you don't. You perform, you emote, you get it out, but you never have to watch it.
Did you have to come to grips with seeing yourself?
I did, and I did a lot of the head down, hand over my eyes, just like, oh, I know.
So you were
coming.
Cringing a little bit.
You don't know what you sound like and look like in that way if you don't do film. Like, I just had no idea. But I did really enjoy it. In fact, there were a lot of moments of, I don't hate watching myself in this as much as I thought I would.
That's amazing.
Well, so
because you found out you were successful at it.
Right.
I mean,
and,
that's one,
and I allowed
one of the
myself to
act.
Enjoy myself as successful. The character, not criticize myself as the person, which is
as an audience. Nice.
That's the hard part.
You're your own audience,
you need
basically.
To allow yourself to just watch it as something you're not part of, have sort of that out of body experience, you know, mm-hmm. just that isn't me, that is a character that I happen to have played, but I'm watching it as that. And once I kind of remove myself from that moment of I'm not going to criticize if I did that dance move wrong or if I didn't sing that note right or whatever, I'm just going to enjoy it, then yeah, I really did enjoy watching it. And I loved getting to just, there's a, as you watch, you remember the things going on backstage and you just remember, you kind of relive it in your head. So, because we always had a lot of goofiness going on in the wings. And
did seeing the DVD, and you've admitted already that you've watched it a couple of times, more than a couple probably.
I watch it every night.
Well, there you
it's
go.
It's how I go to bed.
That's how you go to bed.
She puts herself to sleep.
Having seen yourself on a DVD, does that change how you approach your going back to just theater roles? Because you were just in Little Shop of Horrors, if I'm not mistaken. So did your experience having seen yourself on DVD for Monster Phantom Lake the Musical, exclamation point, did that change your approach to how you did Little Shop of Horrors?
Well, I mean, really, now on stage, I only want my left side to show. So, no, only my good side.
You sold that so well. I was like, for that split second, I'm like, really?
Yeah, I suddenly have this super diva complex. Yes. Like, I will only be in your show if only my left side is lit.
And there's a guy with a diva fan holding it up, so your hair is always flowing.
It's got to be. I mean, I need a whole team.
Makeup, team. Hair...
I realize
wardrobe.
It's community theater and the grant that you have for the entire year won't cover my team, but that's okay.
Then you can't have me.
Sorry. That's how... No. Yeah, no. I,
not
you know,
really?
Not, you I mean, I try to take every show that I do... I take it seriously and I try to... each character's different. I became, truthfully, probably a little more conscious of some of my habits or things that I do as far as, you know, if I'm looking down too much or if I... You know, it is weird to watch theater, and I imagine with the film, too, I'll see very different habits that I have, because it's just different things. But, if there was something I picked up on, sure, I was more aware of it, but it didn't really change my approach.
Just so people are aware, I brought up Little Shop of Horrors. The show's already open and closed. That's why she can't pimp it later on, because it's already been done.
Right.
And she was Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors.
I was. It was Audrey.
Did you...
Audrey won.
Audrey won.
Audrey, the original.
What was that?
And you did you purposely not watch the 80s version of that film before going into
that? Well, I've seen that.
We all have.
Many times.
What do you think of the alternate ending?
The one where everybody dies?
Yeah.
I like that.
The actual show ending?
I hadn't seen that until it was on maybe HBO a couple of years ago or something. All of a sudden, I was like, what is happening right now? This is not the movie that I remember.
They put that on the recent Blu-ray.
And actually
release.
The musical, that's
really?
How the musical ends.
Wait a minute, like Rick Moranis and all do the actual musical.
They did
ending?
They did the real ending.
What? I need to buy it again.
They did the real ending, like they have the actual ending. It did not test well, so they changed it.
Right. Well, the musical ends that way.
Biscuit.
Right.
Yeah.
The musical ends where everybody dies. We all die.
No, it was
Audrey 2 takes over.
Well, cuz that's the movie, the original film.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. It ends
so
like that.
So, it's really cool. I mean, it's like hardcore.
I want to see
that. That was one of
ending.
My favorite parts of the musical was how I got to die with Flair. And he'd pick me up, and then right on the music cue, I was like, I suddenly was dead.
Yeah.
Like super dead. And Adam was in the back in the working with the orchestra, and he could never figure out why everybody would lose their all of a sudden.
Oh, because he didn't
supposed
get
be
to see
super
it?
Serious moment. Then everybody just roar with laughter. And one night he got it, and he's like, I was dying. I couldn't even focus because he had never seen that I suddenly am there, cowering, and then just totally dead.
Now, wasn't there a time where someone dropped you?
No, he almost dropped me. My Seymour almost dropped me. Kevin Grady. Almost
Isn't
dropped me.
Is he a 20-something with daddy issues?
I have absolutely no record of his daddy issues. He's 20-something. And he's my Seymour. He'll forever be my Seymour. But he, in my nightgown, it was a little more slippery, and he didn't quite have full-on hold of me. I mean, he didn't drop me. But I remember after, that was our last show, and he's like, did you feel me? I'm like, yeah, I felt you almost drop me. But thank you for not dropping me.
Yeah.
He had it. He did it.
So does that mean Joel will always be your professor?
Joe will always be my professor. I say it right, right? Didn't I say it right? Professor?
Professor. Yeah. Professor.
That was like drilled, like you can't say
it was right. Like an accident. I mean, Josh Craig said Professor Jackson once in the movie, and now it's like
that
a
was
thing.
Drilled into me when I did the thing before the professor. Thing that I had to say Professor, and I never forgot it.
Josh Craig did that, like he said it. Everyone else said Professor, but he said I'm Professor Jackson when he's meeting the Canoe Cops, and it became like a thing that Josh started doing. It was just an affectation, and So Mike. It's not written that way. It's not supposed to necessarily be that way. But Mike was just like, no, we're going to make sure everyone say it that way because it became kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally just Josh screwed up once or he said it funky. I don't know.
He probably had a pipe in his mouth.
He did. He pulls it out. I'm Professor Jackson. It just came out. And I think he says professor, but the R is really really quiet for whatever reason. So it's like it came up Professor Jackson.
So he sounds like a five-year-old, is essentially.
Right, exactly.
Right. But yes, Joel will always be Professor 2, because Chris was Professor 1. No,
I guess he'd be Professor 3, technically.
Technically, no. He's my professor, so.
Did you like...
You must keep your head.
Did you like Joel's interpretation of the professor, or...
Come on, it's a lyric. Come on, damn it. Someone.
Chris. I got it. You must keep your head.
His name
is Chris. Not this Chris, but Chris from the night before the thing.
Oh, well, I mean... In Chris's defense, we didn't have a whole lot of character development time. I mean, that was such a small little snippet. I don't know what he would have done with the character. That particular scene, I want to say they played it quite similarly, to be honest. We were doing science-y stuff. I wouldn't know how he would have done that otherwise, to say which of them. I'm not going to pick between them. I like them both very much.
That's me. I'm always stirring the pot.
Because I actually played romantic opposite of Chris in a musical at the Fannie Hill Dinner Theater when it was open in Eau Claire. So we were good friends. He will always be my bingo caller. Wow.
Hey, I'll change the subject for you.
This is getting weird now.
I'll change the subject. Ready?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
So, Chris Mim, there was actually a question from Joel, who I was gunning to be the fire tender. Joel mentioned that there's 12 days of the fair. You have 12 movies, and one played every single day at 3 o'clock
right.
at the Blue Moon.
Yes.
He wants to know if you saw Monster Phantom Lake the Musical! Exclamation point at the fair, and how well was it attended?
You know what? I went to the fair once this year, and it was at night. So I was not
you
there
missed it?
To see any of the movies, because they play them at 3 o'clock every day. I heard two different things. One guy was there one day and said that he was there at 3 o'clock specifically to see Attack of the Moon Zombies, and they didn't show it.
What?
And so he went up and asked, and someone said, oh, we're not going to play that.
What?
And I was like, what? And then I got a message from someone else said, I was at the fair today. I swear to God, all they played today were your movies, because every time we went back, it was a different one.
Are you sure they weren't confused about a different movie?
I don't know. Okay. So it may have been just that, you know, it kind of depends on if the owners or the, I guess they're the owners kind of. Can you own a building on the fairgrounds? The people who run it, the people who run the company that runs that, that own that, they have always been very, like, big, you know, they've been very cool. About showing
supporters.
Them the big supporters, and like they were like it was one of the owners, it was her idea to do the 3 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
And she jokingly even said, she's like, I was like, well, do they always do it? Do I, you know, she's like, look, we always make a point, and if we don't, one of your fans always lets us know.
Nice.
So it's like people do go and they check it out. That day, I don't know what happened. They may not have been there, because I have a feeling that if they were and they found out that person said that, they'd get in trouble, because they don't fuck around. They just don't.
Nice.
So it sounds like they did show it. I don't know how it was received or how it went. I know every movie did get played at some point. Whether or not they actually adhered to the schedule, I don't know.
Interesting.
But I know people were excited about the prospect of it playing there, and it will from now on in perpetuity as long as they allow it. So
yeah.
And Dean with the Atomic Brain will join it next year. So eventually it's going to get to the point where it's all double features, because we have a couple of those. But we'll see.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, Joel.
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish
Thank
that
you, Joel.
I knew. But what I heard from the guy who contacted me, they watched like the Giant Spider, and they came back later and watched, I think, Danny Johnson Saves the World or something like that. So
nice.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I hope they do show other like classic musicals there too. So
I've only ever seen black and white stuff, but it's been 2 years since I went to the Blue Moon.
So I don't know. I mean, we stopped in just to see, and I got a picture of the cool sign. But
nice.
I don't know. I'm still waiting on. Every time I talk to Adam, I'm like, "Hey, you got any theaters who are willing to do it yet?" And he's always like, "I'll get back to you. I think we got some prospects." But that's all it's ever.
If
really
I may weigh in on that, I bought a copy of the musical.
Yes.
And I gave it to my sister, who's very active in community theater down in Florida. And I gave it to her with the idea, hey, this is, you can do this with a small cast.
And we got everything you need, theater people.
Yeah.
Literally everything. Even now, to the point, and I got to say this because it's important people know, we've even got to the point now where Adam has put together a CD of all the music.
Uh-huh.
So if you can't have an orchestra, you can still do the entire show.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, honestly, you could probably do it with the piano and the guitar.
I mean, I think he's probably working on that, too.
Yeah.
But he's got
version.
Yeah, he's got CDs of all the music, including the incidentals and all the other stuff, so that you can do it in a small space with a small cast and wouldn't need an orchestra at all.
And there is an upstart. there is an upstart community theater somewhere in Minneapolis, and I forget the exact name of it. But I was talking to these people, and I said, you know, if you need a first opening play that's going to grab people and draw them in, and I might have something
for you. Has a nice local connection.
Yeah.
Just let us know. We're willing to work with a lot of these theaters to make this happen.
I'll keep you posted on how that goes.
As long as there are tickets for, you know, me to go.
I'm sorry?
As long as I get a ticket to go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy.
In fact, that's going to be part of my sales pitch. Yeah. Hey, I can get the guy who wrote the play and the guy who wrote the music and the original movie to show up at the premiere.
That's part of the writer.
And this is where you're going to be like, and by the way, when we say literally everything, Mandy comes along with it.
Mandy. Yeah. Well, you need a Stephanie who's been in it and understands the show.
You can just make her show up and work.
Does Mandy come with her entourage, though?
Yeah.
My crew.
Her crew,
the diva with her entourage.
She's only a level 2 diva, though. She's still got a level
up. You missed it. Okay. You left for, like, the bathroom, and I admitted that ever since seeing myself in the film version of the musical, I now have these really lofty, like, expectations.
She has to have a diva fan. Somebody
only
for hair, somebody for makeup, wardrobe.
Can be lit.
Like, I don't want anyone to see my bad side. You only see my left side.
We're outside and we had all these, like, filming crap. We had a bunch of, like, shades and stuff to make sure we only see that.
I should mention Tim.
To worry if there's
Tim, wrong. My good man.
the Phantom.
Since this is your first episode being on the show.
Yes, it is.
We do have a thing that we like to call the Versi Awards.
Okay.
And one of the Versi Awards that we have consistently done from year to year is the Best Fire Tender Award. Mm-hmm. And I have it on good authority that you're gonna make an appearance. Maybe not winning, but I have a feeling that you're going to make a strong showing.
Because you're keeping the fire actually going.
At least,
I'd fail
at least be nominated.
Job.
Hey, Mandy, aren't you a Versi Award winner?
I
think I might be.
Wait, which award? Now, remind the listeners, which award did you win?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
No, actually, it's for Mandy.
This is for me.
Okay,
they're
sorry.
They're totally throwing me under the bus right now. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Were you aware that you won?
Monster of Phantom Lake.
The
musical exclamation point.
Damn it, now it's going to be a thing.
Did I share
she
it with Joel?
She hasn't received it yet.
You did. You haven't.
I shared it with Joel. It was
the best kiss?
Best kiss. That
yes, it was.
That's why
I think
it was.
But it was like best couple or something like
I
that.
It was too. I was like,
she tied with. Because I was like, wait a minute. She tied with Sven and Gustav. I don't remember them kissing.
How did you guys know it was the best kiss? Wait.
We happen to know the nominators and the voting.
And the couple
of voters.
Sven and. Yeah, that could be.
I mean, there could be some tension there.
Oh, golly, next.
Mandy brings up a good point, though, actually. I feel this needs to be said, and it gives us a chance to throw my buddy Chris under the bus. Just last night, Miss Teresa Perkins, past podcast guest, posted on her wall. She took a picture of her wall with of her Mimiverse paraphernalia.
Just waiting.
But there's an empty spot, a clear empty spot, and she threw Mim
it's
under
like
the bus.
It's an empty frame.
And she tossed him. She even tagged him in the post, like literally hard tagged him in there. And she's like, I'm just waiting for my award. Or what did she, what were the exact words? I
basically,
don't remember.
Basically, yeah. It's like,
this would be a great spot for that award that I still haven't got.
I've been busy making a movie. I don't know if you guys are aware of that.
Really? When does it open?
I thought there were some
It
other
opens on October 4th, Wednesday at the Heights Theater in Columbia Heights, and you should be there because this is the last premiere we're doing at the Heights.
Well, actually, that was a podcast question from Richard and Rosina. What's up with that? How can this be the last one at the Heights?
The auditorium's too big.
Really?
I mean, that's what it's coming down to, and I don't know. You know, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't discuss this, but I'm good anyway. As a side note, it is becoming increasingly difficult to get people to get out of their house.
What?
Yeah.
Even Mimiverse fans?
Even Mimiverse fans. And in fact, I go to places and they're like, where can I stream it?
Oh.
I don't know, on your computer, I guess. And so it's getting more difficult to get people to go do stuff. And I've even noticed, and I've had this discussion with many people about what the hell's going on. But I do a lot of conventions. Convention attendance is down. I was looking on a lot of the local like Facebook filmmaker boards, and no one does live events much anymore.
What?
You don't see a lot of like premieres and stuff the way you used to. I mean, Tim's been around this scene for as long as I have, if not longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer, because I was making movies before.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you know that 10 years ago, it seemed like every filmmaker was doing live events.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see those anymore.
Yeah.
Not in the numbers they used to be.
I don't think there's as much fanfare about it at you know, premieres as there used to be, too.
No, there really isn't.
I mean, I remember my first, well, I guess that's quote-unquote movie. I mean, we rented a limo, and, you know, everybody wore a tux or a gown.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did the red carpet in front of the Riverview Theater. And people were taking pictures.
Yeah.
And you don't see a lot of that anymore. You're right.
No one does it. Yeah. And we've tried to consistently keep doing it. But I have, you know, half my movie career's worth of, like, economic data, shall we say, of just keeping track of everything. And just attendance and stuff. And it's been sort of falling every year. And you can see it if you've gone to several of the premieres. You notice that attendance has shrunk a little bit every year.
Aww.
And so it's just, it's gotten smaller to the point. Not that I don't necessarily want to stop doing them, because I've always loved the celebration of like, hey, we did a thing. Let's all get together and celebrate it with our friends and family.
Yeah, let's
and
have some fanfare.
Fans. Let's have some damn fanfare. We spent a lot of time and energy and emotional capital making this damn thing.
Oh, emotional capital, definitely.
Let's freaking do something. And I just think that the Heights is too big for what is realistic to expect of people. It's 400 seats, and it's just, that's a lot of seats to fill on a Wednesday night. And even when I did it on a Saturday night, it was still just as hard. You know, it doesn't seem to matter when I do it, because you get, it's funny, when I did, it's like I do them during the week, and you have these people who are like, well, if you did it on a weekend, I'd show up, because we have all this stuff going on the week, and people do. People have busy lives. And then you do it on the weekend, and they're like, well, I would have shown up, but we had a lot of stuff going on, because it's the weekend. And it's like, well, make up your damn mind.
You can't win either way.
It can't win either way. So part of me just is not that I want to stop doing premieres. I think I just want to start doing them in a smaller auditorium. Somewhere with, say, half the seats, or 250. Plus, they're opening a draft house, and part of me just wants to do it at the Alamo Draft House, you know, when it opens here in Woodbury next year, or whatever it is. And so, it's nothing against the Heights. The Heights have been great to us. I love the Heights. I love the owner. I love the people. It's just, it's becoming just, and this is just a reality of how people, fewer people go to the movies. It's true.
Well, even Hollywood's down this year.
Everyone's down. It's weird. There's something strange going on in this country.
Sorry. movies.
I think it's called internet, isn't it?
It's the internet to a certain extent. Also, like, here's a good example. Today, I went to the print shop I've been going to for 5 years since they opened. They've been really, really good to me. And I have a really great working relationship with them. I love all the people who work there. They know me. I can walk in and talk to them and be like, hey, I have an idea. And they'll just talk to me about ideas. It's a great business. I go in today to pick up the posters, the lobby cards, the contributors, everything, right?
Yep.
They're going out of business in 2 weeks.
What? Are you kidding me?
Oh.
And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, we kind of been not telling our clients because we knew you had stuff going on. We didn't want to like freak you out and move you out. We obviously need your business. And I'm like, well, crap, you guys are awesome. I had a print shop before that was like, they sucked. I hated them. But I used them for movie after movie because I didn't have anything else. I found these guys and they're like, oh, we'll beat all their prices. And they did. And they were still, they were just awesome. I loved working with them. And they were always really like, I have this thing. Can you do it? I don't know. We've never done it. We'll make it work. Like the trading cards, stuff like that, where it's like, this is awesome. And they made it work and they made it. But they just said, they're like, no one's printing shit anymore.
Yeah.
Everything's all electronic. No one wants this stuff.
Drag.
And it's just the reality of how things are going. And the owner even said to me, she's like, yeah, I went to our paper supplier to pick up just supplies for stuff we needed to sort of finish out the thing.
The workload.
And she told the supplier, oh, yeah, we're going out of business. He's like, are you serious? And she's like, what? He told her, you're the fifth print shop that I've, or like client of mine in the last month that is going out of business.
Wow.
And it's like, what in hell? So I think it's just across the board. People are like just depressed. It's like, I don't want to go to the house. I don't want to see a dumb movie. Even though damn it, this is the best damn movie I've ever made. I keep saying that and I mean it. This movie is so goddamn good. It's like, I have everything that people complained about, I fixed it, damn it. Come see this movie. Everything. It's
so you don't
so...
have characters living together then?
Or... No, characters do not live together when they show
unmarried characters.
It's like the movie is amazing and I want it to sell out. I want people to see it. I'm pushing to get it out there because it is, I don't know, you guys know me. You've been with me through this whole process.
All
you know, at this
them.
Point, I'm like, I hate this movie. I never want to see it again. I don't care. I hate it. I want it to die. I want to burn it.
I want it to die in a fire.
That's right. And then.
And now we know how the podcast began.
And then I'd step away, and then I'd learn to like it. This one, no, it's amazing. It's really good. Like, I think it's just the best movie I've ever done. And of course, maybe this is going to set some people up to be disappointed, but it's like, people love The Giant Spider for what it is, but there's still flaws in that. I'm not saying there are no flaws in this one, but God damn it, is it entertaining as hell. I have watched
it. Side.
Yeah, it's all her left side. I've been watching,
oh,
you know.
Jesus, really?
I in the process of finishing
She's committing
a film,
to the joke, ladies and gentlemen.
People are going to be like, is this girl two-faced? What is happening?
Yes, you are.
You're
actually a man on the
other
side.
There was a podcast injury to my right side.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's all.
She's star. All Freddy Krueger on the right side.
I was a bartender.
Oh, boy.
In the season zero.
It was, oh, nice joke. Nice pullback. Nice pullback.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's like I go through the process of finishing a film, and it's like I have to watch it 400 times to make sure I'm happy with it. And I always make these, I get to the point where it's like, okay, everything's good, but that one little way, you know, I got to turn that one line up. I mean, it literally gets to that point, but I have to watch it all the way through because you catch different things with each viewing. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten sick of it.
Well,
that's never happened.
That's good.
That's saying
like,
something
this
right
movie's
there.
Good.
That's saying
I
something.
Like this movie.
You know,
like, I don't know. It's all Mandy and her left side. I mean,
clearly, you know, we should. You know, damn it, Chris. Now I'm depressed.
I just I want people to show up, and I think it's frustrating me more than that.
Show
it's just,
up. Show
it's
up.
It's like, come on, now people. I'm, this is
yeah,
and so
you just like totally
heights,
drained. Like this, just like we were.
We just
at,
killed
like,
it. Well, you know what? Wait,
if
you know what?
You don't like the first scene, then you can leave.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's.
It's just that's my explanation for the heights. It's like I want to make it clear to people that it wasn't like I got in a fight with the heights or anything like that. Okay. It's just I think the being realistic and being real about this is that attendance is just kind of down across the board on everything. And not just the Mimiverse, but, I mean, everything. I go to movies on opening night sometimes, and there are 10
there are still seats
there.
Open, yeah.
I mean, it's like, this is a big movie with big stars. What the hell? And it's just a reality. And people are broke, and apparently businesses are all going out of business for lack of interest. I don't know. It's just, So I think going forward that maybe I just need to mix it up and just find a smaller auditorium. Hmm. Or accept that maybe we just won't sell out, or we won't. It's just, you know, I want to hit, if we can hit half, we're good. You know, and there are tickets available, and it's just
Saveeuphoria.com.
Saveeuphoria.com. Actually, if you go to demonwiththeatomicbrain.com, it takes you there too.
Actually, that's more characters than Saint Euphoria, though.
That's a lot.
That's why
but it's easier to spell, right?
True.
As long as you don't put a demon with the atomic Brian, which
did you buy that website,
dude? I was so afraid because there's an actor in this movie called Brian Gibson.
Oh, he's amazing.
He spells it B-R-I-A-N, and so it's like I was like making a triple checking to make sure at no point when you see his name, it's not Brain, and it's never Demon with the Atomic Brian.
Good.
Because I was like, that's an easy sort of typo to make when you're typing fast.
Kind of love the idea of Demon with the Atomic Brian.
Atomic Brian.
That's the sequel. Yeah. Since
the five of us are the only ones that are aware of this joke so far, when we get to the premiere, we're going to pull Brian up to the front and say, ladies and gentlemen, Demon with the Atomic Brian.
There we go.
That'd be amazing.
So that's just it with the heights. It's not anything necessarily negative. It's just sort of trying to adjust to the reality of attendance and stuff.
I do think
I should just clarify what Chris is saying. This is in reference to films of Christopher R. Mim Facebook post.
Yes,
where he said that this might be the last time at the Heights.
At the Heights,
and he didn't expound upon that other than just what he said verbatim, and nobody thought to ask. But then I saw him the next day, and I'm like, dude, what's up with the not thing at the Heights?
Well,
he's telling us all at the same time.
This is a way too, just to entice people, be like, you know. This is kind of, if this does end up being,
and this isn't a ploy. Likely, this is not a sales ploy. He's dead
right,
serious.
No. It's likely. If just going forward, any premieres I do, I'm going to have to look at it from a perspective of, okay, you know, it costs X amount of money, and it's like if people aren't going to show up, and it's just going to be kind of half full, I'd rather it be full of like crazy people having a good time as opposed to half full with a bunch of people who have a lot of space on either side of them.
Exactly.
It's fun to have that sold out house. So I'm trying to think of maybe just trying to find a smaller auditorium.
It makes you feel better. Even the Oscars pays people to sit in seats.
There you go.
It's just the reality of things.
It's just how it
things.
Is. I mean, you can't always have the full house, but yeah, we get it.
One of the things, though, I do want to try and do, and Mark and I talked about this at our curling match, which we got our asses kicked. Oh, that was horrible.
You are just going right down this.
Jesus, it was all Michael's fault.
Michael wasn't there because he went to the Vikings game.
I had to go to the Vikings game,
which they did win. But
they did win, and
who cares?
They beat.
You're from Wisconsin.
They beat Louisiana, which is good because I have some fans in Louisiana, and the Saints
I am not
lost.
Cheering
and,
on
ha,
the
Vikings beat you after the Saints beat us. Forget it. You'd have to anyway. I was telling Mark, I was like, you know, one of the things too is that. Some of this just may be the shift from spring to fall.
Yes, we talked about that at length, actually.
Just because fall, I think there's, in the upper Midwest, there's this sort of like, school started, we got sports, we're all getting ready to hibernate.
Yes.
Whereas in the spring, you're like, get me the hell out of the house.
Yeah.
I'm going to a movie.
Yeah, we're carb loading. We're just...
yeah, exactly. It's just
that's
like...
That's what I did all week, girls.
Yeah, we're getting ready, man. Deep freeze is coming.
So, I mean, I think that's... I mean, there's just some of that, too, of just moving around. So part of me wants to shoot a movie in 2 weeks and get it ready for next May.
Which I'm down for. Me and you, buddy.
I just want to do it.
We'll make this happen.
Really fun.
Me, you, Mitch, Rue, Steph, we'll do it.
And just get it done and put it out next May and see if there's a difference. And if there isn't, then we make the call. Okay, let's move it somewhere else. And just do it.
True.
I don't know. I don't know. It makes me sad.
All right. Well, hang on, guys. We're all depressed, and I know what is going to make us feel better. I know what's going to make us feel better.
Pie?
Mandy brought pie.
Yeah.
She brought apple pie that she baked herself. She didn't buy it at a store. So, podcast listeners,
where'd you get them apple?
Go treat yourself to a piece of apple pie.
Myself.
See, not even that.
Wait, one more time.
I picked the apple. I said, picked them at an orchard myself.
All right.
I mean, hand-picked by her own delicate fingers.
So when you come back in part two, we're going to be in a better mood because we're going to have bellies full of pie.
Well, and if we're going
out... Do we have no more, like,
If we're going out on part one... Hold on. Are we done with part one or no more?
Oh, we're so far over on part one.
Well, then I'm going to end part one. On another bit of happy news. So, friend of the Mimiverse, Paul Hansen.
Yay, Paul. Oh, yes.
Yep, Polly.
Party Paul Hansen, Polly, is Party as Paul. Chris yep. likes to call him.
So, announced on the Facebooks, as he's up at the venue, that he's marrying his girlfriend, and this was like, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. They planned in like 3 weeks. Congratulations, Paul and
yeah,
Rhea.
Seriously, it was like...
Now, wait, it gets better. Today, they posted the sonogram or ultragram or whatever people say. They're pregnant! So congratulations, well, Polly P and Miss Rhea. And now we're going to go have pie.
I just thought that was funny. I saw it on Facebook. I'm like, oh, he just married that girl? What yeah. the hell?
Apparently they love each other. Yay for love. Oh, clearly. Love wins. So let's break for part one and we'll go have some pie.
Listeners, go treat yourself to a pie. Like, go get a hostess pie.
It's not going to be anywhere nearly as awesome.
No, it's you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Wow, yeah, now there's the pressure's back on.
Yes. There's no pressure.
If this pie sucks, we're going to throw you in the fire.
Yeah,
just the right side,
you'll
though.
You'll know in part two if this pie is awful.
All right.
Well, toward the end of part two, I'm just not feeling very good.
Terrible. Maybe this will be the last shot.
She laced it with Ipecac or something, and we're all vomiting.
God.
Stop it. Stop it. We were ending unhappy.
All of a sudden.
We're ending. Let's go.
All right. So,
Stephen King, you want to see It?
Thinner.
I do not want to talk about clowns.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Tune in to part two when we finally delve headfirst into a full on discussion about Demon with the Atomic Brain. Chris, what are your thoughts? No, wait until part two. Sorry. Made you do that.